Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Jeremiah chapter 25. We're going to pick it up here with verse 8 in a moment. You know, our Father is giving us right down to the minute when the king of Babylon comes in the futurist sense as Antichrist. And how much false teaching there would be by pastors and shepherds and priests at that time. So it should be no surprise to anyone that our Father is rather disappointed, but yet that makes him all the more pleased with you that do hold the line, you that do know the truth, you that do study his letter, you that do want to be pleasing to him. Next is day. So he continues warning. Jeremiah has just said, 23 years I've been telling you this king of Babylon is coming. No, the Antichrist comes first. 23 years, I've told you. And that's what Jeremiah is kind of coming down on. We'll pick it up with verse 8. And with the word of wisdom from our Father, verse 8 reads, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my word, you won't listen. Verse 9, behold, I will, not maybe, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, or Nezer, the king of Babylon, my servant. Now underline that in your mind. God is calling the king of Babylon his servant. Okay? Doing God's work. Okay? My servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof. Inhabitants means all told, my friend, everybody there. And against all these nations round about, that is to say, that won't listen, as he stated, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. This is when that cup is poured out that Christ asked, Father, is there some other way rather than the cup of wrath? Can we do this a different way? And of course, God would be willing for that, but people won't listen. 23 years, Jeremiah said back in verse 3, I believe it was. 23 years I've hammered this in, this message. The king of Babylon comes first. That is to say, the equivalent in the future sense, the Antichrist comes first. You know, a child can count from 1 to 7. The Antichrist comes. King of Babylon of Revelation comes in the sixth trump. Christ doesn't return until the seventh, and he doesn't make any extra trips. It's all laid out exactly as it's written, and that's exactly as it'll come to pass. You've been warned by our Father, and he lets you know what will happen if you don't listen. Verse 10, moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the candle. You're not going to have anything to celebrate. Do you know where you can find that written again? Is in Revelation. You're not going to have it. But in Revelation 18, in verse 23, I'll read 22, and the voice of the harpers, the musicians, pipers, trumpeters said, shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by the sorcerers, us druggy pushers, and religionists with high on drugs, were all nations deceived. They deceived a whole bunch. So you see, this is quoted in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, when that deception takes place, that the Antichrist appears, the first seal lets you know of his coming, chronologically speaking, and even how long he'll be there in power, 5 months, Revelation chapter 9. And why will they not hear the bridegroom or the bride? Because the true Christ hadn't returned yet for that wedding. And that's the one you want to wait so that you take part in the correct wedding, not jumping in the sack with Satan as the false one. That's what this is all about, is testing you to see how well you receive and understand the Word of God and how you apply it to your life. Warning after warning. 23 years, Jeremiah says, I have laid this on you. And it's up to you whether you will believe it. Returning to chapter 25, verse 11, and it reads, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. In the prophetic sense, that 70 years, of course, it is utilized. And it comes down to the time of the captivity to the birth of Emmanuel. In Daniel chapter 9, it is broken down. And then you have what we call the gap theory for the 70th week of years. And that 70th week is the time that the Spurious One is on this earth, as recorded, when the Desolator, not Desolation, but the Desolator comes in on the wings of the abomination of desolation, deceiving people, lying to them. You know what? They're ready to believe it. Our people are not mentally or spiritually prepared, if they're not familiar with God's Word, to deal with the supernatural. And that He is. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, it shall come to pass when the 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, their sin, and the land of the Chaldeans, that would be Babylon, and will make it perpetual desolations. That is future, of course, when Satan is not from his throne, when the true Christ returns. And what? Why is Babylon perpetually a desolation? Because from that point forward, we have only one king. Not a king of Babylon, king of confusion, but we have the king of peace, the king of righteousness, king of kings and lord of lords. And there will be a wedding, and there will be the voice of that bridegroom, and there will be the voice of the bride as the Holy Spirit speaks through the wife. I'm using that terminology because it is, as you understand from Revelation chapter 19, you have the wife from the first earth age, election, and you have the bride that is about to be. All culminates at the same time as it comes together, that Babylon is misplaced, displaced by that that is true. 23 years Jeremiah warned that this was going to happen. They still didn't listen. And then God Himself intercedes with the 70 years and what would transpire. Verse 13, and I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it. It's going to happen. Even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. It's going to come to pass exactly as it's written. You can count on it. You know, this is why God's Word will never change. It hasn't changed from the first earth age, it won't now, nor will it forever. So you're never wasting your time studying God's Word. It's solid. You can stand by it. Verse 14, for many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. They're going to work on them. They are. And I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. Those that would deceive, those that try to, that man tries to make something out of himself that he isn't. You've got to realize man is just about nothing. I have reminded you several times, don't ever forget chapter 17, verse 5. Cursed be the man that puts his trust in man rather than God, that puts his trust in the power of man rather than the power of God. Cursed is he. You will be. And when some man comes along trying to make something of himself, you're seeing a fool in action. Now, God does utilize people, but I guarantee you one thing. You don't have to have a second guess that it is God that is doing the wonderful work. It is written, it comes to pass as it is written, and it's quite simple to the, and easily understood. Verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, you take it, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. You put it to their lips. You don't give them any choice. They drink it. Again, I could go back to the 18th chapter of the great book of Revelation. Do you know what the 6th verse says there? I'll read it to you. You won't have it. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. She filled a cup 666, you double it. That's 1232. Come, lacking 3 days from being the 1335 of Daniel. 1332, I should say. Double it. Lay it on her. That's to say, old mystery Babylon. How precious our Father is that he gives us as it is written before the fact, so there are no surprises to those that serve him. Verse 16. And they shall drink, no choice, they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send upon them. The sword which is called what? Truth, right from Christ's mouth, right from the elect's mouth, the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And that truth is a two-edged sword that cuts both ways. That's the sword that will be sent among them. Verse 17. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. And here you're going to have a little rundown, and I like to think of it as the one world system, for it was the world system of this day. And the one world system that puts itself together as the first beast with the 12 heads drinks the cup. 18, let's go with it. Get ready. Here comes the one world system. To wit, Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, and astonishment, and hissing like a serpent, and a curse, as it is this day. That's to say, when the Antichrist arrives, and they're worshiping playing king with him, that is to say, the remnant that were returned and replaced, both the good fig and the bad fig. Good figs, wherever you are, you don't have to worry. God's not angry at you. Verse 19, Pharaoh, here's another nation, Egypt. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants and his princes and all his people. Verse 20, and all the mingled people, that's to say the mixed people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, that is to say the land that Job came from, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, that's to say the migratory ones, and Ashkelon, torn by the roots, and Azza is what we call today Gaza. A lot going on in Gaza, wake up. And Ekron, again, torn by the root, and the remnant of Ashdod. All these places, all the system, not listening to Almighty God, many of them thinking they are, many of them thinking that their worship is the only way. But it's not the way of the true living God. Verse 21, Edom, that would be Rusha, and Moab of his own father, and the children of Ammon of his own father. 22, and all the kings of Tyrus coming in the Kenite, Tyrus being rock in the Hebrew tongue, and the dwelling place of Satan himself, and all the kings of Zidon, which was right on the coast from Tyrus the rock. The word means fishermen, suppliers, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, all around the world in a one-world system. 23, Dedan and Tema, South Russia, okay, Rush, and Buz, Africa, and all that are in the utmost corners. I mean, nobody hides from God. God knows where they are, and God's in control. And all the kings of Arabia, and the kings of the mingled people, mixed, that dwell in the desert, all the followers of Arabian beliefs, and wherever they might be of the desert, 25, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes. This would be the offspring of Abraham by Keturah, his second wife. 26. And all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another. And all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth. You got that? And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. There's a great deal in that. Shishak is a word that the Masorah has hidden in. There is a cipherment that must be done there to understand this. It is an acrostic where the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet becomes the last letter, and the last letter becomes the first, and so on and so forth until you reverse the entire alphabet, but it still has the same value. And when you do that, Shishak, you have SH, SH, and CH. And then with the cipherment having been put in place, SH is B. Okay. SH the second time is a B. And CH is L, okay, when you reverse the alphabet, BBL, Babylon, okay. So the king of Babylon, that is to say Satan himself, will drink the cup. And that is God's promise. You with companion Bibles, that'll be easy for you. It's all laid out for you. But it is not uncommon in the Masorah to find key words that God places this way so that you know he means every word he's saying. He said it, and that's the way it's going to come to pass. And there are more places than one where this reversement of the alphabet to drive home a point that you would never forget. That the king of Babylon, after all, the first beast is the one world system in Revelation chapter 13. From verse 1 through 11, down to even 12, is the political one world system. And from 11 all the way to the end is about the religious beast, which is to say King of Babylon, BBL, or which is to say the spurious Messiah, or get right to the point, Antichrist. It's the number of a man, as you'll read in the 18th verse. What is the number? 666. What happens in the sixth sealed, sixth trump, and sixth vial? King of Babylon appears. Satan appears. All the same man. It doesn't, you know, a child can understand that. There's no great riddle when you let the words of truth. Revelation, the very book itself that I've gone to twice here in this lecture, it means to reveal or to make known. It doesn't mean to hide something. God wants you to know. And like I said, a child can understand. If you just throw all the traditions in the trash and stick to the Word of God, let God lead you. So here he says, the whole one world system, that last but not least, the king of Babylon himself, BBL, will drink of this cup. Returning to the 25th chapter, verse 27, he reads, therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. I mean, this is our Father in charge. Drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more, because the sword which I will send among you, because of the sword which I will send among you. God is very direct. Do you know what spew means? It means vomit. Do you know what fall means? It means vomit and fall in it, your throat. He makes it very clear, does he not? The mixture in the cup as a drunk. And then they are no more, for there is only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and at this point it will be time. Verse 28, and it shall be, not maybe, it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. You don't have any choice. And he will put it to their mouth, and they will drink. They will spew, and they will fall in it. Verse 29, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. What's that? Jerusalem. And should ye be utterly unpunished? Question. I mean, look, you've let it rot. You've let the Antichrist stand on my holy mountain, my favorite place in the whole universe, and set up his kingdom. Do you expect me to be happy about that? Our Father is stating. Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Not on God's elect, but the earth that goes against him, the part of the earth that drinks the dregs. You don't have to. Why? God's not angry at you. This is God's wrath. And wrath means he is unhappy, he is angry, but he's not angry at you. So therefore, you can be right in the middle of the whole thing and not be singed, not even be affected, but shine like a new light, a champion of God's children, to assist our Father in seeing that this comes to pass in its fullness. Not one bit. And the Antichrist himself shall drink it. I look forward to that. That's what the acrostic in verse 26 was about, to document that old Satan himself is going to drink the dregs. And boy, does he deserve it. Verse 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words. And you use them, Jeremiah. And say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation, emphasizing. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. And it is written that at the time of that harvest and the treading of those grapes, that the blood will run up to the horses' bridles in Jerusalem, when God is ready for this to come to pass. He's not happy. And, you know, he even says to gather the grapes with a sigh, you know, you don't do that. That'd be a little brutal. And so it is. How precious our Father is. You know, and many people say to this day, wonder why he lets them get away with it. They're not getting away with it. Boy, is he going to drop the hammer on them. And like he said, I'm a fire. What is the shaft to me? Or the false rock. I'm the hammer. Bam! What is it to me? Nothing. He's your Father. and he's in control. 31, and noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. Boy, does he. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Not the good. Not God's election. You don't have a thing in the world to worry about. Why? God loves you. Don't ever let his threats against the wicked frighten you or make you the least bit uneasy. Maybe it would drive you a little bit harder to have people see the truth, whereby they come to the side of right, that that is right, rather than being in the center of this controversy. But if they choose that, then have a good trip. All right? They are warned because God has spoken. And when God speaks, it comes to pass exactly as it's written. How many times people would ask Jesus Christ a simple question and say, hey, haven't you read it? It's in the Word. And what he is saying is, don't you ever read the Word of God to answer your questions, to simplify your life on this earth? Verse 32, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. I mean, it's going to happen. You think we've had storms, bad, getting worse? Well, hey, stick around. 33, and the saying of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be done upon the ground. This, of course, beloved, is time for a change of bodies. When that seventh trump sounds, and we all move into a new dimension at the wink of an eye, raised to a higher level, a higher body, and this earth as we know it today, the bodies themselves changed. And this corruptible, meaning this flesh body that withers, sickly, gets old, will be turned into an incorruptible body, meaning a body that doesn't get old. But then this mortal, meaning your soul, must put on immortality, meaning a lot of people are going to be raised into that incorruptible body and still have a mortal soul, which means liable to die at judgment. So what you want to do is you want to take care of your soul. As it is written in the 10th chapter of Matthew, and with God himself speaking, saying, don't worry, through Christ, of course, don't worry about those that can kill your flesh body, but worry about he who can cause your soul to perish in the lake of fire as chaff, because God is that consuming fire. So make certain that you listen to the word of your Father. Again, he's not angry at those that follow him. He's not angry at those that love him. Going with the next verse, 34. Howl ye shepherds and cry. You know what shepherds we're talking about? And wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. You might have dressed yourself up like some fancy flower vase, but you're going to be busted in a thousand pieces. The fakes, okay? They're not, you know what God thinks of them? Dung in the street. That's not very good, my friend. Verse 35, and the shepherd shall have no way to flee. I'm not going to get away. Nor the principles of the flock to escape. There is no escaping Almighty God. Okay, there just isn't any way. Verse 36, a voice of the cry of the shepherds and in howling of the principle of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord has spoiled their pasture. These false shepherds and those that would lead or attempt to lead, God messes up their pasture. Why? Because their pasture is a bunch of lies, falsehoods, misleading people. You don't have to study God's Word. Listen to me. You're going to be gone. Yeah, gone to hell. Listen to God's Word, not men. Again, never forget 17:5 in this great book of Jeremiah. The man wants to curse himself, just believe in man instead of God. That'll get you there. But he spoils their pasture. How does he spoil their pasture of lies and falsehoods? With the sword of truth. Two-edged sword of truth that passes over, and there's no room for lies, because reality is upon everyone. And that's why Christianity is not a religion, but a reality. Serving God, your Father. Not a religion, but life itself, eternal. Verse 37. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the furious anger of the Lord. That is to say, all these things come to his remembrance. It's getting even day. It's God taking those that has punished the people that had tried. Our Father is jealous. He doesn't like for people to pick on those that really serve him. He's going to get even. He's going to correct. And the Lord help the poor soul that has said something against one of God's elect or has done something against them. Payday. And he won't make any bones about it. I hope you've noticed. Did he say, I'm going to do this to the laypersons? Uh-uh. Chief leaders, shepherds that are false. I'm going to let judgment start right there. That's who he's going to correct first. I would really hate to be in their shoes. It would not be a time of pleasure. One more verse to complete the chapter. He has forsaken his covert. That's the place of holding out as the lion. For their land is desolate because of the furiousness of the oppressor and because of his furious anger. So, hey, be on guard. Our Father only takes so much, and when his wrath spills over, there's no turning back. Payday, my friend, where are you going to be? That's the question. But most of all, I want you to really get hold of the fact that God loves his children. It does not give him pleasure to have to zap somebody. But he will zap somebody for having offended one of his tender ones. Touch not mine anointed. He even says to the king of Babylon, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, don't you even dare try to touch one of those that have the seal of God in their forehead. That means the truth. Well, he couldn't anyway, because you do know the king of Babylon. You do know he's coming, and you know what to do with him. Don't miss the next lecture. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. The Spirit moves. You got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. Let's just teach God's Word. You know something? He's the judge, and he's hot when he, when his cup fills, and it's time to empty it. Watch out, okay? You don't have to because you're one of his loved ones, but boy, will it straighten the world out. Those of you that listen by short wave, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. So, it's always good to hear from you. Got a prayer request? We can do away with the number and the address. Know why? God knows what you're thinking. Wherever you are around this world, he knows what you're thinking right now. You're unique. You're his child. He loves you. What does he want from you? Your love in return. That's something he won't force you to do. Because why? It would be fake. God doesn't want any fake love. He wants it to generate within each entity, each child. That's the real thing. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and questions. Let's go with Nadine in Texas. In Genesis, the Bible states that the world became corrupt. Therefore, the Lord sent a great flood, and Moses' family, Noah's family, was the only pure people in the world, so they were spared. If this is true, how did the impure come back? Well, who did he tell Noah to take aboard the ark? Two of every flesh. Okay. Kenites are not pure, wasn't pure then, or not pure today, unless they've converted. And the influx, even of the giants, there was a second influx. Take your companion Bible, go to the appendix titled Giants, and or Nephilim, whichever the title is, it escapes me. Same meaning, fallen angels, and you will see there that there was a second influx, but not to the extent it was in the beginning. That's why the flood came to be. Was to destroy the hybrids, because they knew what happened in the first earth age. Those fallen angels knew exactly how it went down, and God could not afford to allow that to continue, because this earth age is, each person is to be born innocent, not knowing what happened before, and make their own mind up whether they choose to love God or Satan. Okay, that's why he destroyed them. Lydia from Texas, 9 years old. Lydia wants to know, since God created man in his angel's image, Genesis 1:26, and God created woman differently with the womb, are there any female angels? I really like your teaching, and God really shines through you. Well, bless your heart, Lydia, I love you for that, darling. But all girls are angels. I thought you knew that. They really are. And there were, as you state, and you got it right, they were called there the sons of God. Okay. And God just picked the strongest souls to place in the feminine body, because they can take it. Man, they're kind of... You know, if man had to go through what woman does, I don't guess he'd make it. So, they're all angels, darling. Thank you for asking, okay? My question, this is Kenny from Montana. My question is this. A friend of mine told me that Jesus is not mentioned in the Old Testament. Is this true? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's mentioned... even back in the beginning, he was mentioned to Moses as a great prophet of his own would rise, okay, and that being Christ. But he is mentioned, and even the fact that his mother would be a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So the virgin shall conceive, and you will call his name Emmanuel. Your friend that, there are many places that Christ is mentioned in the Old Testament, his duties, what he is here for, and so forth. How can your friend say that when Psalms chapter 22 is about the crucifixion of Christ? Even Christ's words on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Okay. And to teach us exactly what this generation was and what it stood for. Okay, looking for a name. Maybe I'll come across it. I watched your sermon February the 15th on TV. You said there was absolutely no place in the Bible where it said two men would be in a field and one shall be taken and the other left. Your Bible, you didn't hear me say that. I don't have a name. I don't know if I have a male or a female. But anyway, you didn't hear me say that. You might have heard me say, nowhere in the Bible does it say the first one is taken by Christ, because the first one is taken by Antichrist, okay? Even in Luke chapter 17, where it speaks of the two, and in Matthew chapter 24, where it speaks of the two women in the field. The one taken first is taken by Antichrist, not the true Christ. Taken by Satan himself. That's what the subject is coming out the gate. Do not let man deceive you, for many will come in my name claiming to be Christian, claiming to be Christian preachers, claiming to have their own little Christian ministry, and they will bring you with lies. There are these false shepherds he's talking about, teaching you to jump in the sack. Don't worry, you don't have to. You're going to fly out of here. And God is saying, you're going to stand against the spurious Messiah. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you so that the lost, by traditions of men and fake preachers, will have an opportunity to know the truth directly from the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 21 even stipulates that even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say at that time, that is to say the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Bill and Julie from North Carolina, can you elaborate and give some scripture concerning the appearance of the Antichrist and the elect's purpose here on earth while the Antichrist is here? I should be happy to. It's all over the New Testament. Matthew 24, Mark 13 tells you exactly what God's elect will do. That you are to stand up before the synagogue of Satan. You're not to premeditate what you will say beforehand, but you will speak what the Holy Spirit gives you at that time, so that the whole world can hear the truth. And this is the way that that whole sword of truth goes around the world at that time, at Satan's expense, quite frankly, because he's trying you. But the Holy Spirit overpowers him with truth, that two-edged sword of Revelation chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and destroys the pasture of the fakes, okay? You can read it for yourself, Matthew 13, beginning with verse 35, tells you how it began in the beginning. Matthew 24 gives you all seven events of the seven seals, seven trumps, and seven vials, as Mark 13 does. And even as Luke 21 gives you a side profile of that whole event. Enjoy. Gene from Missouri. What does Rhema mean? And is this something about prayer? Can't find it anywhere. How do I find it in the Strong's? It's the Greek word 4487. I'll say it again. 4487. You want to be careful with this word. It has more than one meaning. It means an utterance, but it just as much means an evil utterance as it does a good utterance. And a lot of people take the word rhema in the Greek and kind of misuse it, pull it out of context. So be careful with it. It's an utterance. The only utterance you want to make is when the true Holy Spirit speaks through you in every language of the world. It's not unknown. That would be evil if you were to say that. That it was not, rather. Because that's the guarantee that it is the Holy Spirit speaking through you, Rhema. Okay? Jess from Georgia. When my mom went to the Father, he sent my granddad and my stepfather to get my mother because she told her goddaughter that she had to go for because her dad, George, came for her, and her dad and George came for her. My question is, did my Heavenly Father, fetch my mom through them. Yeah, I wouldn't question that one iota. As a pastor at deathbeds, I have observed this in more cases than one, where the person that was in the transition of moving from flesh body to spiritual body can see into that dimension when you can't. You can't. They will even speak to the person, recognize them, and say, "Hey, Mary, how are you? It's good to see you." And in the room that this happened to me at one time, there was nobody on that side of the bed that I could see. And I asked family, "Who is Mary that this person might have known?" Well, that was his sister that passed away 15 years ago. And in a couple of hours, he was gone. So God does send people you trust, if you be his elect, that you trust and are not afraid to be with, and they lead you through without any fear. God loves his children. Okay, if you're trying to serve him, you don't have anything to worry about. Okay, God is a God of love, not of cruelty. And the only thing that makes our Father angry is when people won't listen to him and when they pick on his election. Oh, he does not like that. Jack from North Carolina, in Simplify and Return, I have been studying with you for nearly 10 years. I've never heard this question asked. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, would you explain the usurp of authority? I have your tapes on the Old and New Testament. I also have Strong's Concordance and 4 volumes of Green Centilinear. Great. All Marines are always prepared, right? I've not been able to satisfy my mind on this. Any help you might give me on this would be appreciated. Well, you are so welcome. You know, it is right that a woman should not usurp power over anyone, okay, that God has placed in authority. But at the same time, as it is written in the Proverbs, a person that would listen to a fool is a bigger fool than they are. So if some poor woman marries some man that is an absolute fool, she's got to learn pretty soon, you can't listen to him. Or I'd be a bigger fool than he was. So there are times that God uses women to teach, but she didn't usurp the power. The nutcase didn't have it to start out with. Okay, that's just common sense. Okay, there are some men that are greener than a Texas gourd, and they demand that a woman obey them, and they don't know how to come in out of the rain. And that poor woman, if she went according to what that scripture says, without all the other scripture adding onto it and supplementing it, she would have one miserable life. So, God, as it is written, people might as well get used to it. In the end times, both sons and daughters shall prophesy. And quite frankly, it's always been that way. Nathan had 4 daughters that were all virgins, meaning they certainly weren't married, and they were all prophetess, teachers of God's Word. So, Acts chapter 2, sons and daughters. So, people have to, whoever God chooses to place in authority, that's it. Okay? I mean, discussions can be made, but don't ever try to usurp that, or you'd be in bad trouble, male or female or otherwise, or somewhere in between. All right? I better stop there. Pat from Wisconsin. I hope you will answer my question in the TV broadcast, as I listen almost every day and I've learned more than I ever thought I would. Well, God bless you. God's Word will do that for us. My question is about 1 Corinthians 13:12. Why does it say darkly? Because we can see, but it would be like looking through a dark glass. We don't see clearly always how it will be in the hereafter. But we know it's there of a certainty. That's all it means. Don't read something into it that's negative. It means we're just count it as we're beginning to see what's going down. Okay. The second question: when an evil spirit looks at one of God's elect, how can the evil spirit know we are one of God's elect if he can't read our minds? By your actions. You can tell by someone's actions if they be one of God's elect. You don't have to listen to them talk and say too many words till you know one way or the other. Kind of like I said earlier, a fool will identify himself quicker than you can hardly say anything. Right? But one of God's elect are sure of themselves because they're sure of our Father. Thelma from Arizona. Most Bible principles I have been able to grasp pretty well, but I'm having some trouble with the mercy seat. Why was the mercy seat needed? I'm talking about the time before Satan's fall. I know Satan and Lucifer was a protector of it before his fall. Well, it's God's seat, where he sits and shows mercy. God created man, even in the first earth age, but he didn't make him a zombie, whereby he had no choice or free will. And God knew that man would fail, as Satan did, big time, and that in his love for them, he would show mercy. And that's what the mercy seat is, to a place where God shows mercy. Why? Because he loves his children, okay? There you have it. I hope that helps you, okay? It is simply meaning that God, in his judgment, has a place in his heart to show mercy, because he knows we're not going to be perfect, but he can tell whether you try or not, and he counts trying as perfect if you're sincere. Joyce from Kentucky. My question is, I don't go to church at all. I've tried. I'm tired of the falsehood in some of these churches. I've been to quite a few. I find with Jesus Christ guiding me through the Holy Spirit and asking him for wisdom and knowledge and understanding his word, I've learned more here at home than I ever did in any one of these churches here, and I'm not going to mention your town, okay? I can count on one hand whom the Lord Jesus guides me to. Well, you know, it's fine. If that's the way you gain in the Word of God, if you don't find the church that teaches God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, if they don't teach God's Word, period, why go there? Why would it call itself a house of God if it didn't teach God's Word? So, you know, a wise person wouldn't go there. That's just the way it is, okay? So you're okay. Connie from Chicago. How did you first discover the rapture theory was wrong? This is a subject that needs a lot of attention. Well, we give it a lot of attention. How did I discover the rapture theory was wrong? I guess the first time I read it and really thought about it. Do you know why? Because, first of all, the word rapture is not there. And I like to read. You know, I was taught in grammar school how to read. And the rules of discerning literature was to follow the subject and the object. And the subject, quite frankly, is those that are dead. It says, if you believe Christ rose from the dead, then you better believe all other people that are asleep in him have risen from the dead, and that they're already with him. In other words, they raise first. Why? Because they're already gone. And when someone started talking about any moment doctrine, it's not any moment. They're already out of here. You know, what kind of Christian would you be if you didn't believe? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen about Christ, that he's risen. How can you not believe that Christ and those with him have already risen instead of they're out here in some hole in the ground? What kind of Christian would that be? I sure wouldn't want to ride with them. Okay. So it wasn't that big a thing. It's reading the word as it is written, following the subject. And I never was one much to listen to garbage. That is to say, input by man when the word simplifies it so clearly. Linda, and I'm not insulting anybody, I just love the Word of God as it is written. Subject, object, article. Linda from New York. My question is, if enough Christians would speak up against these unrighteous acts, could we change the course of destruction, or do we accept this because it is written that the whole world will be deceived? In the first place, we vote right, righteously and justly. That's how you do something about the course that your nation is taking. But what is written shall be, but we're to be working in that field until Christ returns. Don't be the one taken out of the field by Antichrist. Keep working, and let God find you doing so and be blessed. And with that, I am out of time. So, I love you all because, really, a special reason. You enjoy studying our Father's letter, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. But most of all, God loves you for it. You know what? It makes His day, because that's what He wants from you. Your love and your seeking that His guidance. He loves you for that. We are brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. You know what? When you bless God, He always, I do mean always, blesses you. His word, so very precious. Do you know what's most important in your life today? This. You stay in His word. You set yourself aside a little bit of time each day, just privately for you. You stay in His word. It's a good day even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The book of Mark. Mark, one of the apostles, Mark having been a very young lad at the time Christ walked this earth, was always in the shadows observing and